Go back to Zoom and click share.
Thank you. What would I do without you? You'd be lost, so very lost. Share.
Middle.
Thank you. No, wrong one. All right, so that's right. And make this real small. Do you want me to start you in presentation mode, Jonathan?
Sure.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Yeah, that way it'll be
lower right.
A little bigger. It would look good if
there
it's
you
bigger.
Go. No, right next to it. Sorry.
Wait. Escape? Get me out of it.
There you go.
That's looking good.
There you go. That's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't worry about
the
system.
Go back to the lower right.
Lower right.
It looks like a little podium. There you go.
There's is that the one?
Yeah.
Yep.
My show.
There you go.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Think so?
Yeah, perfect.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
I have a little clicker here. Don't know if that's going to work or not. Should we test it?
Sure.
No.
Don't know.
You might want to just pull it out and pull it back in and let we could see.
So,
yeah, just pull out the little piece on the side.
The chip on the left side.
Yeah, just pull it out and then pull it back in. That's it. And then, okay, and then do what you did before. Put it in. That's it.
There you go.
Okay.
We're all set.
All right.
We are all set. Perfect. Well, it's good to be with you this evening. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with you. Rachel and I together are going to share a little bit about this work that we do, that we've been doing for many, many years. Rachel was born and raised in Angola and in Namibia. Her parents were missionaries from Switzerland, working in those two countries. And some of you may know my parents, Dudley and Jill Ward. So they left Canada when I was 3 months old. And so I didn't have a lot of choice. So I had to go with them. And they went to serve God in France, which is the country where I grew up. But I am originally Canadian, but I've never felt like a real Canadian. I don't play ice hockey. I'm not very good at skating either. So, because I grew up in France. So I speak French fluently like a Frenchman. So does Rachel. She's fluent in French as well. And our work, which is based in France, actually extends to the 29 countries that make up the French-speaking world. I don't know if you knew that, but in the world, there are 29 French-speaking countries. Many of them don't speak only French. They also have a whole mix of ethnic languages. But 25 of those are in Africa. So if you think of the French-speaking countries in Africa, Benin, Togo, Chad, Côte d'Ivoire, Niger, Cameroon, which is half English, half French-speaking, there's a whole bunch. And of course, you've got North Africa as well, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, okay? And so our work is serving all of the Christian workers who are in those countries. Well, we're not serving all of them, but we're serving the ones that we can and the ones that turn to us for help. And what we do is based on the fact that Christian workers are human. That may surprise you, but what that means is they get tired, frustrated, discouraged, wounded, sometimes traumatized, sometimes burned out. And so they need spiritual and emotional support. CMML and the sister organization in Canada called MSC Canada that we're serving with have developed in recent years what they call worker care. And that's incredibly important. Some people call it member care, caring for the members of one's organization. Some people call it people care. But the whole idea is to help those people serving on the front line deal with the stress and the challenges of doing ministry in difficult places. For some, it can be a major challenge. The Lausanne movement, which you may have heard of, which met recently in South Korea, according to them, they've done quite a lot of research and thinking about Christian leadership throughout the world. 60% of all Christian leaders do not finish or do not finish well. The period of greatest risk is between 35 and 45 years old, where they crash after their first major failure, what they might perceive as a failure, what other people might also perceive as a failure. I'm not so sure it is, but it would be after their first major disappointment, disillusionment, leadership crisis, and they don't recover. And they give up and they come home. Or they give up ministry altogether. And that is a very, very sad statistic, 60%. And so our calling, our passion is to try and do whatever we can to reduce that and to help people who have been called to serve the Lord in whatever context it might be, to be able to keep going and go right through to the end of whatever period of time God has called them to serve where he's called them to serve. People sometimes ask us, why do Christian workers need help? Why do they struggle? I mean, surely they of all people have the strength and the resilience to handle the challenges of serving Christ. Why would God call people who are weak and frail? Doesn't make sense. Until you think about the people that God called in the Bible. Moses, no, don't send me. I'm not up to the task. Felt inadequate. Or Gideon, felt weak. Elijah, felt afraid. Jeremiah, deeply discouraged to the point of asking God to take his life. Paul, who was hurt by people he thought he could trust, and he was betrayed. And so what we see as we come alongside Christian workers, and I've got a list here that I'd like to show you. We'll get back to this place where we're serving, but here are some of the challenges that we see among Christian workers. And this explains why we do what we do. Inadequate attention to self-care. Now, I know any word with the word self in it sounds like kind of selfish. Like, aren't we just there to care for others? We're not there to care for ourselves, right? Well, there's one of these laws of life that none of us escapes. And that is that when we're busy doing stuff for others, there's a certain amount of depletion that can happen. And if you're depleting yourself through the work that you're doing good things for God, but getting tired while you're doing it, then somehow you've got to replenish. And if you don't replenish, what's going to happen? Your tank is going to end up being empty. It's just like when you drive your car. If you never stop to fill up with gas. So workers need to take care of themselves, not as an act of selfishness, but as an act of good stewardship so that they can better take care of others. And many workers don't know how to do that. There's a whole generation of workers who thought that, you know, they're just going to burn out for God, as long as they're doing his work and doing his service. Well, what's the point of burning out if you can't serve anymore and if you're totally depleted? So the whole idea is to get the right balance. And some people have a hard time with that. There's also the transitions. There are many transitions for Christian workers. Some of those transitions are planned, moving from one place of service to another. Some of those transitions are imposed. They're not chosen. It's because you get, for example, kicked out of your country of service, okay? Because it's a limited access country and the government suddenly finds out what you're up to. Or it's maybe that you have to leave because you've got some kind of health problem, or you've had to leave because your team has imploded. And there's also the transitions that you experience when you've got other people on your team who are coming and going. And so you're constantly having to adjust to a different team makeup. And that can be quite stressful for some people because there's a sense of loss and there's a sense of grief that could be linked to that. Saying hello and then saying goodbye and having to adjust to working with new people every time. Missionary children, they're the challenges that come with growing up in a country that is different from what we would call your passport country or your parents' country. Questions of roots, belonging, sense of identity. Who am I? Where do I belong? I'm a little bit of this, I'm a little bit of that, I'm a little bit of something else. Helping people who are in going through difficult interpersonal conflicts. Oh, thank you. My eyesight's good, but this really helps. Conflicts do happen. It happened for the Apostle Paul. In fact, Paul had a conflict with Barnabas, which is kind of surprising, isn't it? It's like, wow, thought they got along well and they're doing the right thing, and all of a sudden they can't agree. These kind of things happen, but they can be stressful. A sense of isolation, relational isolation sometimes, for some workers who were in very, you know, isolated places with very few Christians around, very, very small teams, and a sense of spiritual drought sometimes that happens. Giving out to others, but not taking in sufficient food and nourishment on a spiritual level. Again, a lack of balance. Inadequate mentoring and supervision. Workers who are just serving in places where they're not able to get a lot of feedback on what they're doing. They're not able to get a lot of advice on what they're doing. There's a sense of isolation in that sense as well for them. Sometimes it's just the wrong fit. And we've had many workers come to our center because they thought they were going to go to the mission field to do one type of service, one type of thing. And then they discover that the needs are so great in a different area. And the missionary who was working in that area has just had to go home. And so we're going to get you to do that. And hopefully you're just going to be able to quickly adapt. Well, if it doesn't fit your gifting, that can be quite difficult. But it's kind of hard to just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go back home, because you've got your whole family that's moved out there. So that puts some missionaries in a very difficult spot, and they're struggling using gifts they don't have. Cross-cultural stress and adjustment issues, pressure to respond to endless needs, pressure to perform and produce visible results, and the discouragement that can come from that. Let me just tell you about a young missionary couple that spent 8 years trying to unsuccessfully develop a church in a small French town in France. And unfortunately, they had little to work with, as virtually all 10 members of the church were people that were uncommitted, emotionally unstable, and who fought among themselves. And those 10 people just drained that young couple's energy. And they really struggled. And the church fell apart. The couple almost fell apart. And they came to us feeling weary and bitter and angry. And we spent many hours with them, helping them to come to terms with the loss of their ministry, the unanswered questions, the frustration of apparent failure, the self-doubt, and an uncertain future. Just one example of some of the people that we've welcomed to our center. Do we need to pause for a minute? Is something technical needing to be adjusted?
On Zoom, no one is seeing the slides advancing. They're stuck on the first slide.
Oh, okay. So they're getting a really good view of our center.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But apart from that,
because they're seeing that.
That's too bad. Well, we're sorry about that for you folks online.
Can you work with this version? Because I think this is what they see. So.
Yeah, my little clicker's not. But if you want to sit there and just move things along for me.
Sure, I'll do that.
Sorry, but.
No problem.
You can sit.
Yeah, feel free to sit.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you want to be really humble, you can stay on the ground. But if you, if you want to.
So,
to summarize what I'm saying, much of our work involves promoting good spiritual and relational and mental health so that missionaries can serve for as long as possible. And one of the most rewarding things that we hear from the workers that we help is when they tell us, we would have given up and left the field if it wasn't for the work that you do. And all the glory for that doesn't go to us. It goes to God. But that's just so encouraging for us to be able to hear that kind of thing. Because, when a worker leaves the field prematurely, it has a huge impact on projects, on people, on churches, on church planting efforts. And a lot of things just fall apart when people come home earlier than was planned. Okay, how are we doing? Are we all good?
Yeah, they got it.
They got it? And if I try clicking on it, okay, did I do that? Yes, I did. All right. Okay. I think you can sit down.
Okay.
Or you can stay there, whatever. Is it not? Oh no, it's not changing here. Oh no, it's not changing here. Okay, it's not changing for us here now. Anyway, the rest of our presentation is going to be based on these slides to show you a few pictures of our center. So hopefully we can get it to work.
Stop sharing.
Escape. This one. Presentation. Not yet.
We love technology when it works. We hate it when it doesn't. I should add this to the list of stressful factors for missionaries.
Yes.
Technology that doesn't work.
So what do we do now?
So just increase the size, insert 75, make it like 95 or something.
Good idea.
Yeah. And collapse the header panel on the right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that should be okay. In presentation mode, that's what happens. Sometimes.
Okay.
It doesn't really work. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go with 90.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we good?
Let's see what you got.
All right. Okay, good. I think hopefully, can everyone see that? Yeah. This or the people online? And okay, good. So we're going to show you a few pictures of our center, but let me just tell you a little bit about the help that we provide to all of these Christian workers who come. They can come for rest. We can have up to 40 people at any one time. And we have over 400 Christian workers per year coming to our center from all over the French-speaking world, okay? So we are limiting our services to that. Some of them come to debrief.
Keep talking.
Yeah, well, I was just kind of looking at our list there. So
okay,
that's
sorry.
I was commenting our...
Covered your list. Okay, go ahead.
There we go. Okay, you can see chiropractic care. That is a friend of ours in our assembly who provides free chiropractic services to Christian workers. And that is a great thing to have. We've also got marriage counseling, coaching for ministry, individual counseling, vocational discernment. That's where people who are kind of at a crossroads trying to figure out where they should go next or how they should serve. Medical and nutritional advice. And spiritual direction and retreats. Okay. Sorry, I'm going to need your help to.
You're going to have to click on each slide.
Yeah.
On the left, yeah.
Okay, let's go to the next slide. There we go. This is where we're located. Somebody asked me this evening if we're going to talk about the Olympics. Well, no, because we're a long way from Paris and we did not go to Paris to watch the Olympics, but we're way down the other end of the country. Okay, we're close to the Mediterranean and close to Italy, which is just to the east. Okay, next slide. Okay, what is Entrepierre? It means between the rocks. It is a very old, small village going back to Roman times that was then rebuilt during medieval times and was purchased in 1968, which is when my parents went there. And it is now owned by a nonprofit organization called Pierre Vivante, which means living stones. Okay, let's go on. All right, who had the vision? These are my parents, Dudley and Jill Ward. My mom is originally from Ireland. My father is British. They went to Canada, which is where the Canadian connection comes in. And I was born in Canada while they were studying there. They connected with the assemblies in Canada and then went to France in 1968. We joined the ministry, Rachel and I, to replace them in the year 2000. So that's where a transition took place. Years of renovations and hard work went into making this place what it is today because, well, if we go to the next slide, this is what it looked like when my parents arrived, okay? Buildings that were falling down or had already fallen down. And so they had to be built up. So there we go. Yeah, there you go. You got some before and after pictures there. With that building on the left. I don't know, did it go a little bit quickly or did you get to see it? Okay. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. I mentioned the French-speaking world. This is just a map showing you that it's a big part of Africa, probably about a third of Africa. And then we've also got missionaries serving in Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, who are historically which are historically French-speaking countries as well for a while, what the French used to call Indochina years ago. Okay, our goal is right here, helping cross-cultural workers and national Christian leaders. We have a lot of French and Swiss and Belgian leaders as well, church planters, evangelists coming to us as well. Okay, next slide. How do we function? So guests usually stay for 1 to 3 weeks. And I'm going to let Rachel talk about this part and she'll tell you a little bit about some of the apartments as well.
Yes, so we have two different groups of people. So one group of people will come for counseling and they say stay usually for just 1 week because the counseling happens every morning for 3 hours, and then the afternoon they relax, they can enjoy the place. It's intensive counseling. We have 5 counselors on our team, and so they get help, precious help, through our team. Then there's the other group of people that come. They come for a vacation and they can stay up to 3 weeks if they want, especially in the summer. They want to take their time to relax with their families. And so we have self-contained apartments. We have 6 units and you can, yes, exactly. That's good. You see some of them there. And it's because of people like you that we've been able to decorate them really nicely. We always had good people on our teams and some groups from the States as well coming to help us and make lovely apartments. They are self-contained. That means that each family who comes, they look after themselves. But we do invite them at our table and to just get to know them a bit more. So that's what I do mostly.
If you could just go back to the previous slide. Sorry, Rachel could maybe just comment on that previous slide.
Let's stop there because we also, so from the 6 units. We also have a swimming pool. We have a games room. We have a library with about 4,000 books. And this is a special place. It's our chapel, and people have been able to come and really unburden and unload and receive from the Lord in this particular place. So it's been a blessing for people. So you can continue and you'll see our team. We're 4 couples. The couple on the left is our newest couple. They arrived a year ago. They stayed with us for a year and now they found a place to live and they bought a house. So they are now half an hour from where we live. He is a coach, Joel, and Deborah is a midwife. She also has counseling training, but she is working full time. So she can give less time because they need to make ends meet as well. The couple in the middle, Dominique and Roger, she is Swiss and he is British. And they've been with us for 7 years. Maybe if you remember our letter, we mentioned a lady who had colon cancer. It's her. And she was doing much better. And just recently we heard that she has some issues again. And so please pray for her that there will be nothing major coming up. Then on the right, it's Janine and Marc, and they are our maintenance people, and I help them in that practical side of things. They look after the grounds and the apartments and the welcoming of people, and we are just a wonderful team. Jonathan and me, so I share between the two. I do some informal listening to people as well, praying with them. And Jonathan is with the counseling team, looking after them.
Okay. I'm not going to spend much time commenting on this, but this may be just interesting for you. I don't know if you're familiar with the term debriefing. You know, what is debriefing all about? It's basically, it comes from the military. It's when you've been out on a mission and you come back, you talk to your supervisors about what happened and how it went. And so the missions community has kind of borrowed that term to talk about telling your story about what has the last year been like, or the last 2 or 3 or 4 years. And so a debriefing is just an opportunity in a confidential setting to talk about the highs and the lows, the joys and the hardships of serving God in a particular place, and getting a sense of perspective maybe on certain things, and then kind of checking in with oneself with the help of a debriefer about, you know, where you're at in terms of sense of frustration and maybe some of the difficulties that may have been experienced. So here we've got a number of things that we see coming up, some of the issues that come up. There's that cumulative stress, there's burnout, there's sometimes depression, there's traumatic incidents that some missionaries experience, relational problems within their teams or with their own leadership, changes, transitions, addictions. You may not think that Christian workers can get addicted. Well, maybe one of their major addictions is addiction to work, okay? But not just that, there's other forms of addiction that can get them into difficulty and out of balance. Spiritual life, physical health, obviously that can come up as an issue, and loneliness for some people. Okay, we can go to the next slide. We're also involved in a number of projects and things beyond our immediate center at Entrepierre. So we're involved in our local assembly, which is just 20 minutes away, which we helped to plant in 2003. And we are currently planting another one. There's a new church plant that is underway, that it's been going for the last couple of years now, in a town with absolutely no church whatsoever of any kind, that is located about 40 minutes from where our present church is. So it's just a different French town, a town with about 20,000 people. So if you can imagine, you know, 20,000 people, absolutely no church, you know, you wouldn't see that here. But France has many, many towns with no church. We're also involved in mentoring leaders and encouraging church planting efforts in France and elsewhere. So I'm involved in a number of organizations that encourage church planting, encourage church planters, help them identify their gifts, help them to get the right kind of training, connect them with other people who have more experience, make sure they are mentored, all that kind of good stuff. Teaching and training in Bible schools. I teach regularly in a number of Bible schools. I just go there like for a week and I'll teach a course, usually on issues related to, the whole area of managing stress, good interpersonal relationships, burnout prevention, all that kind of stuff. Networking, resourcing, and writing. So I'm writing chapters for books, for articles in French. Again, stuff that Christian leaders are gonna read. Helping other support ministries to develop. Yes, and that, if we could go to the next slide, what that's about is simply that one of our difficulties over the years has been when we haven't had enough space or enough availability to help all the people who'd like to come. And so what we've done is we've come across other people who've said, well, I really feel called to help people in ministry too. I'd really like to help them in one way or another. These people are not necessarily all counselors. I've met some people who are trained mediators who can come into a church or an organizational structure and help them when they're going through a major team conflict. And that's really valuable. So what we've done is we've set up, and when I say we, it's a number of us who've wanted to see this happen, set up what we call the Ministry Support Network, which covers France, Belgium, and Switzerland. And there's 80 people now in this network who have various giftings and callings to help people in ministry, to help them be effective. It's trans-denominational, okay? It's all different denominations. So the Brethren and the Baptists are involved and various different denominations involved in this. But it's an exciting venture so that people on the front line can really get the help they need. That's the whole purpose of this. Okay, here is a matter for prayer. This is a small house that is right next to our buildings, right? It's next to our center. And the owner never comes. It's their holiday home, their vacation home, but they live up in Luxembourg, which is way up towards Germany and Belgium. The last time we saw this person was over 5 years ago. And it would be so useful to us if the owner was willing to sell. So the challenge that we're having, and I share this with you as a prayer request, is that this person is elderly. She's a widow. She has no children. She never uses the place. So it's basically just sitting there, not being used. And it's a real shame. It would be so useful for us, for team members, or for extra space for Christian workers who come at our center. So please pray that A, the owner would be willing to sell at some point soon, and that we would be able to raise the funds and that God would provide for that. Let me just show you where that is located. Yeah, if you go to the next slide, that little house, it is, sorry. It's okay, no worries. Okay, we're back. Oh no, we're back at the beginning.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, just run down to the end there. Okay, good. All right, so I will point with my finger.
Just to show you where that little building is, it's right here. It's this little house here. Now, we own, our nonprofit organization, okay, occupies all of this. Everything except this big house that you can see up here, which belongs to some Christian friends of ours. All the rest of it, and we don't own this down here. But this part is so close. It's right next to us.
And it would be a terrible thing if somebody else bought it who has absolutely nothing to do with what we do and who is maybe even hostile to what we do. That could be a real thorn in our flesh. So there's a real prayer topic there. And I'm just going to let Rachel share a few more prayer items with you. If you want to go to the next slide. Okay, yeah.
So thank you for praying for our ministry. And I already mentioned Dominique that had colon cancer. So please pray for her especially. And for strength and unity on our team, we can really praise the Lord because we get on very well. We're a very united team. But the enemy sometimes comes in with silly little things, details, and that's the way he often comes in. So please pray that this unity will continue and our love for each other. For wisdom, as we come alongside hurting workers, it's true that they arrive and we see them often very burdened, and we see that they come discouraged. And after the week, we see them leave and we see a difference. So we are so privileged to see a difference. Oftentimes, pastors and missionaries are on the field and they work for years and they don't see any visible fruit. Well, we can see it almost from one week to another. And that's an incredible blessing for us. So the property we just mentioned, that we will be able to purchase it, and for protection from the enemy, as I just mentioned, there are neighbors recently that have given us a little bit of hassle, and just pray that also in our community, we can have unity. And last but not least, if you can just go to the next slide, and these are our three kids. Alexi on the right, Danilo, our second, on the left, and Stephanie in the middle. And please pray for them that they will stay focused on the Lord. They're all going through ups and downs when it comes to work because they're all in the arts and it's not an easy world. And so thank you for your prayers for them. We appreciate it a lot.
29, 27, and 25 years old.
Mm.
Yeah. I forgot to change this slide. MSC Canada just put CMML instead, put the CMML logo. We are looking for new financial partners. We need new partners. Some of our partners have gotten very advanced in years, and some have gone to be with the Lord. So that's a great thing for them. But for us, it means that we really do need to kind of have more people who can help us with this ministry. And I think, you know, one of the most beneficial things, one of the most encouraging things is when you know that when you're giving to a ministry that is really supporting those who are on the front line, and knowing that that has an impact on projects, whether it's church planting efforts, evangelism, Christian schools, you know, whatever it is that these workers are involved in. So it's an important link. And if, you know, if we can partner with some of you for that, then that would really encourage us. I guess we have a few minutes for questions. We're kind of done in terms of what we wanted to share with you. But if you have any questions about France, about French-speaking world, about what we do, yeah.
So what is your formal training?
So I, both of us. Well, both of us are teachers originally, and we both taught for a while, taught languages. And then we also met at a missionary training Bible school, which was in Switzerland. And then we went on and did more biblical training. And then we also have training in biblical counseling. I have a master's degree in biblical counseling from a place called Trinity Western University, which is a Christian university in British Columbia, just south of Vancouver. And I also then did a lot of my training, like kind of hands-on training, at a place called the Missionary Health Institute, which is in Toronto, and which is quite unique in that it is a medical clinic that combines the medical needs that missionaries have, all the shots they're going to have before they go to the field, and all the checkups, and all the checkups they have to have when they come back from weird tropical places, plus the spiritual pastoral component, plus the emotional psychological counseling component. We all work together as a team at the Missionary Health Institute. And so does that mean I have to stop and shut up? No. Okay. And so part of my training was also there back in the 90s.
Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
How do people sign up?
So they actually sign up through our website. We have a website that is in French, and they can go there, fill out a form, tell us what kind of help they want. Do they just want to come for a break? They just want to rest? How long do they want to stay, et cetera, et cetera? And then we give them our availability.
And they are only people who are within the assembly network? Or
no, it's broader than the assemblies. We have a lot of people from the assemblies, but we're serving the whole body of Christ in all its glorious variety. So it's all Christian organizations, SIM, Wycliffe, OM, you know, you've heard of a lot of these, you know, CMML missionaries as well, and different church families as well.
But it's people who have a link with the French-speaking world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's important.
Yeah.
Do you help them get there from some places farther away, or would their organizations do that? Like, what if people, they have to find their own way there as far as
they have to travel to us.
Yeah. And financially, they have to come.
Yeah.
Or be supported.
Yes. Now, the way we function financially is if people can get to us, then what we say is just leave whatever you can as a free will contribution to your stay. We don't have set prices or set amounts. We really do not want finances to be an obstacle to Christian workers coming and staying at our center. And so we give them a ballpark figure. What we say is here's how much it costs us for you to stay here. And we just calculate that based on our operating costs. So we just give them that idea. And then we say, but then just give what you can. And some people give more than the suggested amount. Some people give less. God makes up the difference. And that's why we also need help from, you know, outside supporters to help us.
And we have often big families with several kids, five or six sometimes, and they would not be able to take a break because it would be too expensive for them to rent a place. So it's great that we can offer a cheaper place, or they give what they can to the ministry.
And the two buildings that you said were our lower...
Yeah.
You don't own them, but are they
French neighbors? Yeah, French neighbors who we have a good relationship with. They've been there for a number of years, and so one interesting thing that I didn't mention. Okay, we don't have any pictures anymore, but you may have noticed that right in the middle of this little village, they call it a village, but it's a hamlet. I mean, there's no shops or anything, but I don't know if you noticed, there's a church steeple.
Yeah.
Did you see that? Okay. So that is the little Catholic church, because France is Catholic, okay, which is no longer used. There are no priests in these little villages anymore, okay? Catholicism has kind of evaporated. And the church actually belongs to the municipality, the building. So they have to look after it and renovate it and make sure it doesn't fall down, which is good, because it would be a headache for us to have to look after a steeple like that. But we can have access to the building and we can use the building. And they've encouraged us to do that so that it gets used. And so what's kind of cool is that what we'll do is we'll leave the door open. We've put in a stack of Bibles. People can help themselves free of charge. These are not the missionaries that are staying with us, obviously. These are visitors who might come through our little village, okay? Because there's a main street that goes up, which is pedestrian, but it's a public right of way. And so we get a lot of hikers, especially in the summer months. They're coming through and, oh, cute little village. I wonder what's happening here. Oh, the church door is open. Oh, what's this? A Bible. And so they'll take a Bible. And then with the link with our neighbors is that as we come up to Christmas and as we come up to Easter, we'll invite them in for just a short time of worship. In a very simple way, very accessible way, just a couple of songs that they would maybe be somewhat familiar with, a passage from scripture, and just a short devotional. just as a way of saying, well, you know, this is what Christmas is all about, or this is what Easter is really all about. And they will willingly come. Why? Because we're doing it in a Catholic church. And so it's like, oh, well, this is our village church, you see. Whereas if you did it in a different type of church, it's like, well, I'm not sure who these evangelicals are. I'm not sure I want to be any, you know. So that's kind of an interesting opportunity that God has given us to preach the gospel. Yeah.
Maybe you'd like to close in prayer.
Yeah. Our Father, we are so grateful for the ways that you have provided for this ministry through Assembly Christians praying for us, giving to us, coming and helping us, volunteering their skills and their time over the years to build this place into what it is today. And we're just so grateful for the many, many Christian workers who have been through this place over the years, over 400 per year. And since 1968, that's quite a lot. And we just want to give you all the glory for that. We want to thank you for the ways in which you've provided. You provided for our needs. You provided for the needs of the workers that we welcome. We thank you for every worker that comes and that goes feeling refreshed, feeling better equipped, better encouraged to carry on with the task of reaching the world with your love and your salvation. And so we thank you for this time that we've had this evening. And we just want to commit those prayer requests that we've shared. We want to commit those items to you as well. That house that we really would like to be able to purchase and the funds to do that. Our children and our team. All of those we just want to bring to you so that you would provide in the best way possible and in your timing. And we also just pray for the rest of this evening that you would keep us safe on the roads as we go home. And we just thank you for this opportunity to hear about this work in France. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Help yourself to the prayer card.
We have a prayer card on the table.
Yeah.
You know you've made it as a missionary when you're on someone's fridge, right?
Does your team do the cleaning and cooking, or did they each do the missionaries?
Well, they're supposed to do some of the, most of the cleaning, but we go in and we oftentimes have to do quite a bit still. Yeah.
Cooking,
but,
do you guys do?
No,
or
no.
No, they do their own.
It's all self-catering.
Yeah.
All self-catering.
Mm. Kind of like at CMML. We're staying at CMML, and we've got a nice little apartment. We fix our meals. It's the same setup. Yeah. Here.
They came here.
This is their break. This is our break.
Well, we have to plan it in Jersey.
Yeah.
So we do get away, like in September, we went away for 2 weeks with our children.
Yeah.
And we have to leave this because otherwise we would have some calls and people at the door. So yeah, to go away. Schedule issues.
How close is it? To the coast.
It was
a
how
far is it from Paris?
You can come in if you want.
It is with the fast train. It would be 2 hours to the train station, 3 hours to the Paris. But if you take the car, it will take at least 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
yeah, you're welcome. It's a pleasure. Okay, that can go through CMML.
Yeah,
that'll be fine. Sure. Okay, well, sorry about the two kids.
I know. More often don't get to the missionaries in Canada because when they come back for a while,
they go to Canada.
So.
Yeah.
So this is
good. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess you had the chance to, as a board member, send them out to
In fact, we used to get together they have withdrawn from us in a couple of areas. One is the magazine.
Interesting concept.
I remember when he was done that, feeling like, how? And they came back the first week in the track. They stayed actually at our house overnight. And they told us that when they were starting, there was no financial support.
They were getting the impact on Canada. MSC used to contribute for the production.
What to a child is
Your father actually did some work. What would the neighbor's house go for price wise?
Around about 250,000 euros, and I think the American dollar and the euro are not too far from each other.
The euro is probably stronger.
Maybe a little stronger.
It's pretty close for your
country. 215,000, 260,000, $270,000.
What's the size of the house?
It's pretty small. It's pretty small. It has a nice little piece of land. Not very big, but it's got like a nice little stretch of garden area in front of it. The size of the house, it's big enough. Basically, it has two small bedrooms. So it's really, ideal just for a couple of a little kitchen, kind of dining room, living room area, all kind of combined. It's pretty small. It's not big enough for a family, but if it was like for coworkers, part of our team, just like homeless couples, no longer have their kids at home, it would be perfect. Part of our concern is really who's going to buy it. Well, exactly. I mean, the day's going to come when she's going to. She lost her husband about 3 years ago. She has no children.
There's no heirs. Has there been any attempt?
We have, we said no. We said no, I don't know. We just want to be sure that we're able to buy it. We want to be sure that we know that. Unless the neighbor tells you it's in the same house. So it's just like, Lord, you know, may we know about it. She's up in once a month. She may have like one to see that village once a month. We're just going to say, Lord, this belongs to you. Do whatever you want with it. And if really, for some reason,
the Empress
says, either she doesn't want to sell it to us or she doesn't deserve it. One of the unfortunate things is, when she was staying there for a while, she found someone had put up the middle of a Jehovah's Witness.
It's close to
convinced that we're trying to convert her, and that we are trying to I tried to say, no, look, I'm not going to support you. So she doesn't really like us too much. I didn't want to go into all those details to the group, but it just makes it, it's just going to make it that much more of a miracle.
Or somebody buys it that does like you.
But exactly. And that would be okay. You know, people who are respectful, people who are noisy, people who are running around the garden, just people who are respectful.
Sure.
Or maybe even Christians.
I mean,
that'd be great. The nearest shops, banks, train station are actually only 10 minutes away.
Oh, okay.
In our nearest town.
Yeah.
But we are in a valley behind the mountain. On the other side of the mountain is the town. So you just take a road for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So it's actually not that, but it feels good when you're there.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
People get away and rest.
Obviously, they're thinking of Doug's making reservations. I was thinking, where do we get one of these around here? We got the addiction one. You know, the household is the best. That's our household. interesting experience on the beach mission down the Jersey Shore. We could not get the kids or the families to come to the permit until we went to the Catholic Church and asked if we could hand out invitations in the service. And they said, sure. All of a sudden, we had 150 kids in the program.
I think we have to find creative ways.
Yeah.
Because I'm just saying you're savvy, so you would
think you win. Clearly, the idea. I mean, we never thought of being able to use or wanting to use the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And then it's like little places after it's everywhere.
Until you're going back to the park.
And it was the mayor who said, I think we would do it. They want to have the people, either have the people who are staying, or you go in there and just pray. Although we do have our own little chapel, so that's not quite so necessary. And there's no heating in winter, so that's pretty cold. Or to just use it as a place of worship, because that's how it's supposed to be used. That's the way. And she said, I'll just have to talk to you about the diocese. Yeah, that's fine. So, you know, we have the resources of it without having the hassle of looking after it. But, you know, people are taking the Bibles, going in there, taking Bibles, and then the neighbors that we invite for a little church service kind of thing. Not regularly, just.